Hello, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Tonight, I'm delighted to have Dr. Michael P. Mao, Ph.D., return for part two of our exploration into the Sanctus Germanus prophecies. Dr. Mao is the director of the Sanctus Germanus Foundation and is one of several mediums for the Great Brotherhood of Light. He has been given the privilege of bringing forth the ideas of the spiritual hierarchy to humanity during these times of worldwide upheaval and change. Several years ago, he was plucked out of a profitable trading business in Asia, sent to a place of relative isolation, and trained by designated masters of the Brotherhood to use his latent clairaudient faculties to receive telepathic messages from the spiritual dimensions. Before his mediumship, Dr. Mao pursued a career in the U.S. Foreign Service and the United Nations and served as an international development consultant to various foreign aid agencies before running his own international trade business in Hong Kong and Macau. He has lived in Europe, Africa, Asia, and North America, and holds a master's and Ph.D. in international relations and economics from UCLA and the University of Pennsylvania. Let's welcome Michael back to the show now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, you know, it seems like there was so much to cover the first time, and we just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg, and it just seemed like a wonderful idea to have you back on the day that when you were supposed to be on anyway.
Well, let's dig in then.
All right. Well, you know, you've been involved with the financial world at pretty high levels, I understand. And a couple of things have happened. It looks like in the United States, I'm sure you're aware that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are both having difficulties.
Oh, yeah. Their difficulties are really quite deep because these two organizations have been speculating and playing in the derivative markets.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get the money to lend out to or to buy mortgages. And so they're caught in this whole mess that is collapsing right now.
And that is all part of the process that the Brotherhood is talking about, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Saint Germain calls that these big towers of finance are just being knocked down and crumbled.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the big towers is Bear Stearns in New York,
uh-huh.
And you'll see in the future bank after bank after bank after investment bank are just going to start tumbling because the Federal Reserve only has its printing press to turn out more of this paper money, and that can't save what's wrong with the system.
Right.
So, you know, strap yourself in and prepare for a really rough ride in the next few years.
Oh, yes. you would probably be inclined to stay out of the stock market at this time, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The only thing I would put my money in is gold or silver.
Silver, yes.
Or one of the other precious metals.
Yeah. Do you think that we'll be, at some point within the next couple of years, that we'll be reduced to the point where we'll have to use some kind of something to trade with, barter with, besides money?
I think we'll be reduced to bartering.
Yeah, yeah.
And to fill in the differences of the barter, you would resort to gold.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
at that time, I think gold would be worth, I don't know, maybe $10,000 an ounce.
Whoa.
Because the inflation would be so high.
Wow.
I mean, I've been in a hyperinflationary situation before when I went to visit Vietnam in the early 1990s.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going to dinner there with two other people, and we each brought a suitcase of money with us.
Oh, my God.
And then after we were finished with a meal that maybe cost about maybe $20 American, the guy came in and gave us a bill for $1 million-something or whatever it was.
Oh, my Lord.
And we opened our suitcases and just piled it onto the, you know, counting, and just piled it on top of this little table. And it was this huge stack of currency.
Oh, my goodness.
Paper money. And the owner just came by with a with a garbage bag and just kind of swept it into, you didn't even bother to count it, you just swept it into to this bag and our dinner was paid for.
Oh my God.
And I think, you know, that's an example. This experience really gave me an idea what it's going to be like in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well,
I think it's going to be that soon.
So what would you, what would be your advice to those people who would like to be at least quasi-prepared? Because you can never really prepare for these things.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you live. If you, if you're out in the, in the, in the country, where you have access to food, and you'll be able to get your own food. You know, there'll be farmers markets, and you can barter or you can pay with whatever currency you have. But it's the people in the city that are going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit more stuff for getting enough supplies.
Yeah.
Because I think all these supermarkets and big distribution chains are not going to be operating very well.
Yeah.
It's going to be a kind of a breakdown because the high oil cost is just going to just keep going up and up and up. And, you know, I think so these big national chains and distribution companies are going to gradually break down. So people who are living in the city should have some form of currency, like gold or silver. A silver coin right now, you know, runs for about $20, and I would really get some silver coins. And then when you need money to buy things, you might be able to go to a coin dealer or whatever bank is left and trade it in at that moment for some paper currency. And, you know, there'll just be this incredible inflation rate going, and every day, maybe, you know, that coin will be worth another 10,000 or something like that. So it's better to have a coin like that to trade in. You get enough money to live for 2 or 3 days or to buy your stuff. And, you know, maybe you'll end up paying $150 for a loaf of bread or something. But $150 is going to be, it's really paper money. It's not worth very much.
Yeah.
And the inflation, you know, just look at Zimbabwe today. That's exactly, you know, where we're headed.
Well, now, how did they get into that pickle anyway?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, this,
there's a lot of corruption, of course.
And no confidence. Nobody wants to deal with them. Nobody wants to trade with them.
Yeah.
So they're just reduced to printing money.
Wow. Well, I think a loaf of bread there is like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, right.
That's amazing. Well, of course, there's so many people in this country and in other countries that are living close to the wire already. What's going to happen with them? Because the government obviously isn't going to be able to bail people out.
I think what they're doing is just they're reverting back to the pre-government days. Grow your own food and exchange. Barter is what they're using.
Yeah.
Can't use the currency there because it's worth nothing.
Well, now, what about the NAFTA business, about joining the Canadian and the Mexican continent with America and coming up with the new with a new coin of the realm? Is that something that you're familiar with?
I've heard about it, and I don't think it's real, because certainly Canada would not want the U.S. worthless money now. Mexico. Why would they want to mail their currencies with something that's worth nothing?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't. You've got to have, you know, partners who are fairly equal.
Yeah.
And the monies have to be fairly strong or equally strong to be able to come up with a currency like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that coming at all.
Well, good.
But I think, you know, in the United States, where this hyperinflation is going to be the worst in the beginning, what we just talked about, barter and using the differences, you can use it as a, use coins for that, use gold coins or silver coins. Silver coins are probably better.
Well, they're more reasonable for people to afford at this.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Plus,
especially those who are jumping in at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see how gold shot up during this last 2 days?
I usually keep track of that, but I did.
Well, it's about 965 now.
Wow.
It's just a spot rate, but the gold coins are already running in the thousands.
And oil keeps going up, too, of course. There's no limit to how high that could go.
Because people can't invest in the stock market anymore.
Right.
So they've got to buy something that they know is going to hold its value.
Like oil and gold.
Oil and precious metals.
Yeah.
And agricultural goods, because people have to eat, people have to use fuel, and of course gold is always the traditional refuge for these kinds of crises.
Uh-huh.
It's very strange because when I went to the agency that sells gold, I saw there a lot of Russians and East Europeans. I didn't see any Canadians there.
Huh.
And I suddenly dawned upon me that these are the people who have been through this before.
Yeah.
And so they know what's going on.
Yeah.
So they were rushing in there to get some gold coins because they knew something's amiss.
And, you know, most of us are of an age when we haven't personally gone through the Great Depression.
That's right.
You know, my father went through it, and I'm telling you, it was such a scar in his life that he never really got over it. I mean, everything was pinching pennies, and, well, there could be another depression, and, you know, don't...
Throwing your turnips in the flower box so you can have something
yes.
to eat.
Well, you know, people might have to, you know, in their condominiums, they might have to put a little box out there and grow some food.
Yeah,
you
grow
know,
turnips. They're fast.
All of these beautifully green lawns might have to be converted to growing food to live on. I don't
yeah.
know.
And you see, when that happens, then you'll have an excess of, you know, vegetables in a certain area, and then people will be exchanging cabbage for carrots and stuff like this.
I think that sounds like a wonderful thing.
I like the idea, and probably the quality of those vegetables would be much better than what you find in the supermarket
under
refrigeration for weeks.
And I think that a lot of the vegetables we get are either genetically modified or are irradiated.
Yeah, right. You
and
never
those
know what
two,
to do.
Those aren't good things.
Mm.
Neither of those are good things. For the listeners tonight who may have not heard last week's show, maybe you could share some of the insights and thoughts about the coming times that comes from the Brotherhood of Light, a bit about, you know, what this period is and how it recurs every 25,365 days. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, right.
Well,
you know, this the period that we're in now is about the end of a transition period that started maybe 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why at the end of the cycle, where as we're transiting into a new age, things seem to be happening pretty fast. And the reason for that also is according to the Brotherhood, that the whole solar system is rubbing against another, this galaxy of the photon belt, as they call it, and getting into that energy is forcing the energies, everything, every atom on Earth to you know, speed up.
Uh-huh.
So you have these two tendencies, the end of a cycle and this photon belt entry, speeding things up. So that's why things look pretty fast and they seem to be clipping along. And what I was told was that because when they were telling me this stuff, I'm saying, look, you know, people think I'm crazy if I write down this stuff. You know, how do I know that what you're telling me is right? And the master said, he said, look, I can't argue with you about the future since you can't see it.
Right.
But we can. So what you have to do is on faith, put it down on paper, and send it out, and you'll see as these things come about, you will see that what we have been telling you is the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And indeed, in the last couple of years, things have been happening according to what they had said.
Uh-huh.
And they said that this collapse of the entire of the entire financial system
uh-huh.
is tied to the fact that the financial system was created by forces of darkness.
Right.
A clique of Atlantean souls that have incarnated in this century with us
uh-huh.
and who have kept this whole obsession of control over people. And you can look at it today. They have completely taken over the media, they've taken over the banks, they've taken over the whole money system. So they actually, through the money, they control us.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sure every single person listening to this broadcast could agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
And the other things they engage in is fabricating wars.
Yes, yes.
Because those are the big money makers.
Yep.
So you can imagine this clique of extremely rich people. And I don't really know what they do with their money. I mean, the money, I think, is just used for control because that's what they eventually want. So the acceleration of energies that we were talking about, the end of the cycle and the new, is breaking this whole clique apart, that their whole system of finance and their whole system of warmongering is being broken down, and it's being deliberately broken down by the forces of light. And these forces of light are led at this particular stage by the Master Saint Germain.
Okay.
So they said, now when this starts to happen, you can know that the other predictions that we have given you, these are the predictions regarding earth changes, will be true. Because what we have said in the beginning, this is the sort of the startup of this massive change that the earth is going to go through.
Wow.
When we see this financial system cracking up,
yeah.
we know already that the energies are fast working on this whole system that we thought would be there forever.
Right.
But as you see, all these finance, these banks and these towers of finance are just crumbling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if that can happen, then get ready for the earth changes that are coming after that. So just when we're about feeling nice and comfy, when these forces of darkness are, you know, knocked down, and these Atlantean souls that are perpetuating this financial system will be knocked off of the earth. I mean, the acceleration and the energies will be so fast that their bodies are not adapted to that. They're too adapted to making money and things like this. So those people, plus a whole lot of other laggards that they have fallen onto this planet, will be kind of exiting. They'll exit in many, many ways. They'll just, you know, decide they can't stand it anymore and leave, or they'll get caught up in the war or whatever. But there's going to be a thinning out of the population. So as this happens, as their grip on us starts to break, we'll see more and more light. When we look out the window, things are going to look brighter. And they're going to feel very good. And we're going to see the dawning of this new age, sort of the beginnings of it. When things are back in order, where the light and what we were created and put here and on the earth for will be more apparent to us. And then the earth changes start. If they haven't already started now, I mean, what we're seeing now are the regional changes that are warnings to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take those warnings seriously.
Yeah.
But of course, we have the government agencies telling us, oh, don't worry about it, this flood is just another cycle, and we're just going to, you know, this is another 40-year cycle, et cetera, don't worry. And so, you know, they're tricking people into rebuilding in the same place that they've been flooded
in. Oh, yeah,
And you hear these officials, like you heard in New Orleans and along the Mississippi, we're going to rebuild, we're going to rebuild. I mean, how foolish. I mean, if you really knew what was going on and could see things in a broad perspective like this, you would know that you would not build a house in the same place that was flooded this year.
That's right. That's
move to higher ground. So these are the warnings that are being given to us, and way ahead of time now, before the really major earth changes happen.
Okay.
So That is something we've got to heed. We have to look around. We've got to see, is that water lapping a little higher on that sidewalk next to the lake? Is that wave reaching inward to the beach a little bit too much than before? You know, just look at these things and say, something's happening here.
Yeah.
Be aware.
Yeah.
And then, you know, be very, very, very logical about it and plan out. You still have a couple more years. Plan out how you're going to move up to higher ground. It's very simple.
Mm.
But to get somebody to move.
Oh.
And you know how awful moving is.
It's terrible, yeah.
And also to adjust the job situation, family situation.
Oh, my goodness.
People think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Moving to a higher place for no apparent reason.
Well, a lot of people are doing it because of their intuitive promptings.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
Because the intuitive ones are, you know, they just pick up and they move. They know they have to do it, and they do it.
Yeah. But you're right. You know, there's going to be so many people who will just not, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, and why do it? And, you know, I can see where there's going to be a lot of chaos and upheaval, especially on all the coastlines around the world.
Exactly. They'll wait until the last minute and there'll be a stampede, and then you'll see that's where the disaster comes.
Yeah. Well, now, so these initial changes of the financial markets, this is kind of like the energies have started to penetrate, and they're kind of loosening things up.
That's right.
And so then the collapse of the financial markets is like a precursor then to the actual earth changes. Well, do you think kind of respite in between? You said we'll get feeling kind of comfy.
Well, there is these disasters, like, for instance, these banks falling down, you have a couple weeks in between.
Oh, boy.
But I think, you know, the disasters, the what we call disasters, but it's actually the earth cleaning itself.
Right. It's a climate.
You have a year or two, maybe, you know, the hurricanes, for example, they haven't hit the United States for a couple of years.
Oh, that's right. And that's, we haven't even talked yet about the solar flares.
Oh,
that's supposed to reach its maximum around 2012, what's coincidentally.
Well, that's what I said. 2012, I don't see a major shift or disaster in 2012. What I see is from now on is gradual warming, and it really hits its peak around 2012, and you have, you know, icebergs breaking off and floating down to the Caribbean.
Well, that's practically happening already.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's down the coast of Canada. So you'll see this, and you'll see the rise of the sea levels. And at that point, I think 2012, also, a lot of the banking system has been destroyed. And you know, we're struggling to try to find our way through a new system of bartering, maybe. And there'll be lots of stuff for us to do.
But
it's reverting back to what we normally should be doing, rather than living in this regime of finance.
That's right. That's right. Of debt.
And debt. Oh, that is.
Yeah,
that's
of actually being in touch with the land and with nature and with energy and knowing where our food comes from and actually participating in the process.
Mm-hmm.
What about, there's a fellow named Junvalo Melchizedek, and he's in touch with the present-day Mayan elders and their spokespeople. He seems to believe, or they believe, that there will actually be a pole shift at some point. Does the Brotherhood discuss this at all, or is that optional?
You know, Master Moria told me to remember that changes on Earth go in evolutionary time.
Yeah.
In other words, to us, it looks like very, you know, small steps. What a lot of people are the scenario a lot of people are starting to conjure up is more something that would happen in a Hollywood movie. proceed fairly slowly on Earth.
All right.
And it's a little step by step, but, you know, it's relentless.
Yeah.
And it seems to be fast now because, as I said, this acceleration of time. But I don't think there's a pole. The pole shift has been happening all this time, which is why it's getting warmer and warmer and warmer.
Mm.
But it's not, you know, a sudden shift where one day you're at minus 40 and then the next day you're at 80. It doesn't happen that way. It just gradually gets warmer and warmer, and that is because the pole shift is happening slowly,
okay,
an evolutionary time.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So this is why the Brotherhood can give us these warnings, and the problem is that we're at the end of the cycle again, right?
Right.
And so these things become more apparent, and it looks like it's quite fast.
Well, sometimes it doesn't feel that way, though. It seems
yeah.
like things are kind of going slow.
And you get impatient, even.
I'm very impatient. It's kind of, come on, bring it on, folks.
Yeah.
Let's get this over with. I'm sure that, you know, if the real changes start coming about, I'll think, okay, I wish I hadn't said that.
Well, yeah.
Now, you know, I should have kept shut and just enjoyed my life. But, what was I going to ask you? Let's see. I had a question that just flew out of my mind. You mentioned Atlantis and Lemuria. Okay, so this is kind of a repeat. So these Lemurian and Atlantean energies, they kind of, during that period, apparently those souls must have reincarnated onto this planet and have continued their control. And this is going to shake all that up, and they'll be eliminated, basically.
Well, I don't think the Lemurians. I mean, we were Lemurians at one time,
right?
But there's a class of these what they call laggards, and these are souls that have dropped onto the Earth from other evolutions and maybe even other galaxies, other solar systems, and certain of them have stayed on. And they really reached their height of control during the Atlantean era.
Yeah.
And we were Atlanteans also.
Right, right.
But they were the ones that formed this whole money clique and learned how to control people by monopolizing money energy.
Yeah.
And they have reincarnated into this civilization and are doing the same thing. So, you know, we're sort of evolving through the Lemurians and then the Atlanteans and now we're in this sort of what they call the human race. They call it the fifth root race, actually, right now, as we're transiting into the sixth root race.
Right.
But this time it's different because this clique or this bunch of Atlantean souls who were in Lemuria also the controllers, are being booted off.
Oh, good.
And it's being booted off, they're being booted off so that, you know, mankind, which would have normally just transited through the Lemurian and Atlantean stages, can now do it on a more normal basis.
Right.
Rather than being enslaved by these evolutions, we can now proceed on our evolution as it was planned, according to the divine plan.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Well, that's why people who don't want to see these banks crumble. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't want to see these changes come about.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And they're praying like crazy to
right.
stop it.
That's right. And
they don't want these nasty things to happen.
And it has to happen.
And I asked the Brotherhood, what happens if we just pray and pray to try to stop this. They said, well, you can't stop it because it's karmic. And the more you pray, the faster it'll happen.
Oh, well, good.
So if we really want this thing to get out of our way as quickly as possible, that is the best thing our prayers will, or our meditations will bring about, is rather than drag this thing out for another few years, we'll just nip it in the bud right now and begin our new journey. But it isn't happening that way. There's too much resistance on Earth right now.
That's right.
Even among the light bearers.
Yeah.
They think they want to make this thing stop, but the best thing is to make it go faster and get rid of all this stuff. I don't know why we would want to save the world as it is today. It's a mess.
I don't think it's possible.
It can't, because
it's
too
not
much to save.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely impossible. You mentioned the sixth root race, and I know from my own research that that includes some of the indigos, crystals, and rainbow kids. Most of the audience has probably heard of those already, or they are those. So these are some of the, in fact, the indigos would probably be in their 20s and 30s by now, wouldn't they?
Well, they're continuing to incarnate. I mean, there have been waves of them.
Yeah.
And I don't, there were some waves of people that came in the 40s. And I don't think they were indigos, though. They were sort of the, you know, 40s and 50s. These were people that were very concerned. These are souls that were very concerned with the state of the earth at the time.
Uh-huh.
And these are the people who are always rallying for environmental protection. They're always trying to do something to right what these dark forces are doing.
Uh-huh.
And then now the new race apparently has started coming in around the 1960s, and they have continued to come through. And unfortunately, and this is one of the concerns of our foundation, is that a lot of these people, especially those who came in the 60s, had to go through the school systems.
Oh,
here,
yeah.
And were really knocked out of shape then.
Uh-huh.
And I think many of them suppress their abilities. And hopefully, when all this stuff gets wiped out, they'll come out. They'll probably be in their 50s and 60s by that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they'll be the elders of this. And then you have this constant stream of indigos that are, or what we call the new race children, coming in, and they have extraordinary abilities. But just because they have extraordinary abilities doesn't mean that they're going to be on the path.
Right, right.
These are people who are coming in just like us, blindfolded.
Right.
Although they can see through the blindfolds, but that does not make them holy.
Right.
And so there's a whole bunch of teaching that has to be directed toward them to keep them on the path, to put those abilities into the building of the new age.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if they go off track, it might be even worse because of these abilities. I mean, they'll get into black magic very easily because it's because they have the abilities to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very, very critical at this moment that somehow there's a way of accommodating these new incarnations coming in because they just don't fit in. And people who understand what's happening to them coming through should somehow get together, you know, put together a special school for these children, concerned parents, and make sure that their abilities are not completely perverted or twisted by the current system.
Yeah.
And this is what we're trying to do on our website. There's a whole committee working on this.
I think that there are a lot of different people who are trying to work with these kids now and bring attention to this. The bigger problem that seems to occur is the use of pharmaceuticals to fix these kids.
That's a real no-no.
Yeah.
It is a real... I mean, that's completely planned, by the divine powers, but it's divine by the dark forces to just completely drug them out.
Would you say that the large pharmaceutical industries are pretty much run by the dark forces?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The AMA is I'm told is considered by the Brotherhood one of the forces of darkness.
Oh.
Although, you know, within that, the doctors in the AMA, you have good people who are concerned about healing, but the whole organization and the way the pharmaceutical industry is built, it's all meant to enslave us.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's even been an attempt recently to legislate herbal substances off the market.
Exactly.
And to classify nutrition as illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to do that in Canada too.
Oh dear! Obviously, this can't be allowed to go on. I mean,
no, there's so much resistance, and I hope that these nutritionists and healers and Reiki masters will really put up a big fight. I mean,
yeah,
because it's ridiculous.
What do you think of, I'm going to ask something kind of off the wall, a little bit off the wall. The elections are going to be coming up in November. Do you think that this is something that is going to be a change-worthy event, or how does all of that play into the plans, the divine plan? Does the Brotherhood talk about any of the political arena, or is that completely just taken over and consumed by dark forces?
I think it's right now taken over by the dark forces.
Yeah.
This whole election is probably a major sham.
Right, it's all smoke and mirrors, isn't it?
That's it. That's
yeah.
what it is. It's all being manipulated, and you can even see, and Senator Obama comes from my home state, too, but unfortunately, I can see him switching his positions now, and I'm sure there's pressure behind him.
Oh, yes.
Trying to get him to conform.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're real threats, I'm sure, to whatever is dear to him.
Right, family, whatever.
Family, whatever.
They
and
don't.
So, you do what we tell you.
Or else.
Because we'll pull that debt, that multi-trillion dollar debt that's holding up your nation.
Right.
We'll pull the rug from under you and you'll collapse.
Yeah.
As possible like that. They can
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
And that's what the Brotherhood has told me.
Oh, wow.
That it is the debt we have to look at.
Well, no.
We have to look at the IRS. We
yep.
must look at the debt. The debt is, behind that debt is the control of the United States.
Yes, absolutely.
And other countries, too. It's not only the United States. It's Great Britain, and unfortunately, it seems to be most of the English-speaking countries. But no, even South America is taken over by this stuff.
Well, of course, the way to eliminate debt is if there's a tremendous crash and money is worthless, then everybody...
Well, that's what's happening. You see, the whole scheme, their scheme is going awry now. So this is a little bit, we don't know what's happening right now because we're right in the middle of this financial turmoil. And will that debt be a force of influence or power over the leaders
that
we would elect? We don't know yet.
But if
the whole thing collapses, then maybe people can rise out of, like phoenixes, out of the piles or rubble and start thinking for themselves.
Right. And, of course, it has to be allowed to collapse. And it seems like every time we get close to something that could be a positive change in the long run, there's something like a new war that goes on, and that just gets us further into... there's a lot of saber rattling about Iran and Israel and so on and so forth. I'm sure that if the powers that be had their way, they would have pushed the button already.
Well, I was told, that's another thing that the Brotherhood told me, was that the Third World War will start there.
There will be one.
Yeah. I think it's going to be. I don't think there's an unless about it. It's already been planned. Over the last 10 years, there are railroads that have been boosted up in the United States. There's a general mobilization going on.
Yeah,
it's very strange because I was having it was about 8 years ago. I was sitting down and on somebody's beautiful porch in Hawaii and having dinner with a bunch of people, and I mentioned to them that I was planning to take a freighter trip across the ocean into India.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys asked me, well, what freighter? And I told him the name. He says, oh, I know that freighter. He says, I do all the refitting of freighters. And he says, let me tell you this, that the freighters that are coming in for refitting are not being refitted to become freighters. They are refitted to be freighters in a war.
Really?
And that was 8 years ago, he told
Whoa.
Me. This is extraordinary. This is happening in Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
And so they're taking these merchant freighters in, and there's been a general mobilization going on for at least 10 years for this particular phase of the war, the Third World War phase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't fabricate a jet bomber overnight.
Right.
This takes, years to get the thing off the drawing board and manufactured.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you know that this is all geared toward the future war that they've been planning. And Iraq is merely an excuse to get the troops into the Middle East.
Mm.
There's something else that's planned. And that, I'm not sure. I think it has to do with this Iran-Israel thing. And maybe Israel may be the sitting duck.
Mm. Interesting.
Because what you need, what has to happen in there to get the world war going, and I'm talking from the point of view of a dark force planning committee,
right,
is to have something so outrageous that it'll get people so on the warpath,
yeah,
that you get going, you see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe...
So you're saying like a nuclear attack on Israel would definitely do that.
Could be something like that, yeah.
Well,
or blowing up a couple of our aircraft carriers.
Yeah, yeah. Or
that would really, you know, that'll get the U.S. Population on the warpath again.
Well, it doesn't seem to take much. I mean, all the powers that be have to do is just start drumming the war drums, and they just get everybody prepared that way. They just, you know.
Well, that's why they prepared us well by, you know, manipulating our emotional bodies.
Yes.
That's why I keep saying that, you know, we got to start using our brains, because people are like sheep sitting in front of the television set.
That's right.
And they're being manipulated constantly, so that all they have to do is just push a little button, and we've got hysteria running through the whole nation.
Yeah.
And then like 9/11, for example, that was a great example.
Yeah.
That 99.9% of those who were running around in the rest of the country, not in Ground Zero now,
right,
in fear of terrorists, will never meet a terrorist
right.
in their whole lives.
Right.
I mean, they'll never see one.
That's right.
Or be in the company of one. But they were able to just get everybody on the warpath and moving.
Yeah.
Sending jets over and taking over Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, and there's so much going on with that. I mean, the 911 truth movement has become quite an enormous gathering of people who believe that something is awry with all of that information, and that it hasn't really been fully explained.
You know? I'm glad this is picking up momentum, because that's the kind of kernel of truth that, you know, gradually grows and grows and grows until, you know,
there's critical mass.
Yeah, critical mass. And that's what's supposed to happen around 2012.
Yeah.
Everybody says, you know, we've had it with you guys. They're already saying it. They're already
saying it.
You know, don't, you know, give us any more of these lies.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we know what's going on.
That's right. And we're getting pretty familiar with how they operate. And they use astrology and esoteric numerology. You know, 911, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the space shuttles are sent out on esoterically astute days. And you know, there's a lot going on that just operates, you know, without our knowledge.
Well, this is sort of the black magic part of
the
area.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anything esoteric can be used in either way.
That's right.
It can be used on the black side or the white side. And they have it mastered. They have mediums that are quite telepathic, and they can practice telekinetics. They can they can make passenger planes go awry right in midair.
They have a lot of abilities, no question about it.
But you see, what's happening now is the acceleration is following them up, because these abilities are based on certain levels of astral vibrations.
Uh-huh.
And as this acceleration enters our earth plane, it just throws them off keel, because it agitates that whole astral vibration, changes the vibration, and they're no longer affected. This is why things are, when they plan things, they kind of fall apart these days.
Yes. Wasn't it you that wrote in one of your books, I think it's volume one of the Sanctus Germanus Prophecies, that as the astral plane gets shaken up, that we'll see political leaders make gross mistakes on the television, and they'll say things that they really mean that didn't mean to say.
Well, they're doing it, aren't they? They're putting
their
feet in their mouth. And every time I see that happening, I just have to laugh.
Yeah.
Because there it is again.
Yeah.
Another foot in mouth, and they're constantly today apologizing.
Yes.
You notice that?
Yes.
It is a foot in mouth and apology. Foot in mouth, apology.
Yeah.
But that's part of the astral agitation.
Yeah.
That's shaking up their astral bodies. So they're forced to tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they blurt it out, and before they know it, they've incriminated themselves.
It is pretty funny. I want to ask you something. This is a little bit, maybe it's a little, a bit of an odd question. But for those people who follow biblical prophecies, I know a lot of people are hung up on this concept of the revelations and the second coming of Christ. Has the Brotherhood shed any light on that particular subject?
Well, all these major religions have this idea that there's something coming, another avatar, another Christly figure. And they also talk about, the Brotherhood talks about the coming of another world teacher. And that'll be down the line. We're still not ready for that.
We're not even close to that, are we?
Not even close to it. And anybody who said that, you know, Christ is going to show up in the 1930s has got to have his head examined. That was probably the craziest period in the 20th century.
Yeah.
So there is some truth in the biblical revelations.
Yeah.
And of course, they also in Revelations they also predicted, or St. John predicted the Armageddon, which is what we're in now.
Right.
But of course, you know, those revelations were written several hundred years after Jesus was on the earth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he basically John had a vision of a sort?
Yeah, he was on this island off of Turkey and had this vision. I forgot what the name of that island was, and he just wrote down the whole thing.
Hmm. Well, if these aren't those times, I'd be very surprised.
No, these are the times. I've been told definitely that the Armageddon that was pointed out in the Revelations of the Bible, we are right in it now.
I had somebody ask me an interesting question, and that is, why are there so many people incarnating and coming to the planet now? Why is it so crowded? And one of the answers that I've heard consistently is that so many people or so many souls are coming onto the planet because they want to experience these times as an incarnated body, and also that there are a lot of people coming on from other ET civilizations and, like you said, the Indigos, to assist. Can you shed any light on that?
Well, my take on that is that, I mean, they got to have their heads examined if they want to come into this. I'd go back to paradise. I mean, there's a lot of
people
there.
Me
and
too.
I could just, I'd rather watch it.
Me too.
But, the Earth is in what they call the free will zone of the universe.
Yeah.
So a lot of failed evolutions, people, souls that have nowhere else to go, kind of are thrown on this Earth. They kind of end up here.
Yeah.
Because nobody will stop them. And you notice the great emphasis on sex.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's just for the procreation of bodies.
Yeah.
For these people to inhabit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of, half-evolved souls that have been disconnected with their souls, but they're still kind of hanging around the astral zone. And so with all these babies being born, they just kind of jump into one of these incarnations. So there are a lot of incarnations today that don't belong here.
Oh.
And who are just clogging up the, clogging up the passageways.
The arteries.
The arteries.
Yeah.
And I'd say half the population of the Earth really should go where they belong. But this is what's being cleaned up now. You see the acceleration that's coming in that's going to be, cleaning up this this thing so that the original souls that were supposed to be evolving on Earth can start on the path again. Keep moving.
How do you know if you're one of those souls or if you're not just one of these fatty clogs?
Well, you're concerned for the Earth, for example.
You're concerned
for the times.
Yeah.
There's a certain awareness of what's going on.
Yeah.
Those who are just, you know, stuck to the Earth and can barely scratch out a living from the Earth, those are very good indicators that those people are not here to enlighten you.
Legitimately, yeah.
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 That they've been just thrown into any body that can, hold the land.
Yeah.
If there is any land to hold.
Yeah.
And there are millions of people who are starving to death.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them are of this ilk.
Huh. So in a sense, they're kind of like interlopers.
Yeah.
Well,
if
we're in a free will zone, why? I'm always curious how it is that the dark side, the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call them, from the Atlantean times, has been allowed to get such a stranglehold on the planet. Doesn't that violate everybody's free will, or did we agree to that?
I think what was agreed that the Earth would be a place of duality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how could you exercise your free will if you didn't have a choice? Right?
Yeah, I suppose.
So there it is. There you got it.
Yeah.
But now I think it went a little bit too far.
Too far, yeah.
And it didn't mean that, you know, the duality was supposed to take, the darker side was supposed to enslave the other side.
Right.
Which is what has happened. So I think that's the problem now. It's got to be re-equilibrated, if there's a word that, it has to be rebalanced.
Yeah,
so that
we
can get back. So that means that in the New Age, as we go into the New Age, not everything is going to be hunky-dory either.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're still going to have the choice, and there's still going to be duality. But the darker side, or the other side, the minus side, is going to come from within us. Because look how many of us are carrying all that stuff into the New Age.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we could, again, start this whole rat race again if we don't watch out.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
I mean, I see that as a really great possibility. If people don't start shaping up in their, you know, aligning themselves with a spiritual hierarchy. Because, you know, that's the right path there.
Right. Well, now, so we have some events which will be occurring up to 2012, and then, of course, that's not necessarily the magic date.
No,
it's a continuum of changes and shifts, that a window, shall we say.
Mm.
Now, when does it really get rough?
You mean when those rough waves coming in?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that's gonna really pick up after 2012.
Okay.
And the next couple of decades after that,
yeah,
you just better get yourself an arc.
Do you think that there will be an ET presence here that will make itself known officially? That will be, you know, there's a lot of people that are speculating that, you know, the government has already made deals with various negative polarity ETs, and that some are even here now working in underground laboratories.
Well, I think, you know, the ETs by cosmic law are not allowed to, you know, come on board here.
Yeah.
Although there have been agreements which were violations of this cosmic law between the United States and the ETs.
Right.
As well as Great Britain, I think, was involved with this too. And that was during the period in the 50s and 60s where people were being snatched up and studied. And then,
yes.
But there was an agreement that they could take back water and certain kinds of ore that was available, and they wanted to study this.
Yeah.
But they made an agreement, but what was that those who were snatched up for experimentation were those Atlanteans also who had done the same thing to people.
Uh-huh.
When they were, so they were just getting their karmic justice there. But I would say that the ETs through the astral plane are working with the dark forces, and that when these governments start really being pushed against the wall, and that is probably uprisings and earth changes all roiling up everything and cutting into their power.
Yeah.
Now that's when some of these governments may call on the ETs for help.
Yeah. We've gone faster than the last month. It was a wonderful conversation. Would you please tell the listeners how they can get your books and your website?
Well, the website is called www.sanctusgermanus.net.
Yes.
And the books can be found on another website called sanctusgermanusbooks.com.
Wonderful. And if anybody forgets that, just go on to the BBS show site and pull up my show, and that information is there with the link to the site.
But Google has it all there, too.
And they're wonderful books, and I really loved reading them. And Michael, you've been a terrific guest, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Thanks a million.
Yes, and good night to all your listeners.
All righty. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.